I am holy, holy, holy. And there is none other like unto me. You do stand on holy ground. Do not defile it. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your shoulders. It is light. I carry every heavy burden. I never give you a yoke that is heavy. This night I am calling you to come into a place in me that you have not yet entered into. There are places in my kingdom that few can enter into. But this night I am calling you few to come into a special place in the heavenly realm. And in this place, you will receive the abundance of my heart. You will know the secrets of the heavenly realm that I have not yet revealed to the world. You have found a special place in my kingdom, and I am offering you the very best of that realm. For I am holy, 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 and there is none like me. I am your father. I am your brother, your sister, your mother, your friend. I am all things to you. And you need nothing else except me. I want to lavish my love upon you. I want to lavish all the gifts that are waiting for you in the heavenly realm. I so want to bless you abundantly. Are you holy, holy, holy? As I am holy, holy, holy. Can I lavish upon you all that heaven owns? I have said, touch not my anointed ones. Each of you are anointed of me. And I desire that no one touches you. I desire that they let me touch you. That they allow me time and space to change and rearrange you. I have said many times, come up hither and sup with me. And I am asking you this night to answer that call and stay for a season. Do not be quick to leave the table that I have spread before you. Come away with me even this second, and let's dine together. Let's walk in that holy place that I have ordained you to walk in, never to leave that place ever again. Some of you are trying to muster up the courage to come up into that heavenly realm because you fear that I will burn you up with a fire because you are not totally holy. But that is not true. Come to my table and let's eat of my goodness. And then you will see, you will perceive with your eyes that I am holy, and you will become holy. I have destroyed the bastard son spirit off of you, and I say you are free to come and dine. I'm also hearing God say the way has been cleared for you to enter the throne room of grace. Praise God. Father, I truly do thank you for your presence and the awesomeness of that presence. I thank you, Father, for visiting with us tonight. Thank you for your holy angels. You are walking to and fro throughout this building, ministering to your people. I'm just hearing God say that from this moment forth, he wants his children to be straightforward and forthright in all that they say and all that they do. No more backsliding. No more entertaining thoughts of darkness, but only thoughts of life. You go ahead and stay in the spirit, and I'm just going to read you what I have. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you really know him? We're talking about the very essence of salvation, your salvation. There is nothing more important than the salvation of your soul or my soul. And what is salvation? It's knowing Jesus. Salvation is knowing Jesus. Whatever so-called gospel leaves Christ out is not the gospel at all. In fact, it is a cursed thing, and Christ is the only way. There's no other way. There are seven I ams in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I ask you a question, do you really know Jesus? Now listen to this. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we see that Jesus constantly says, I am. He is everything and means everything to us. We must have him if we are going to have peace in our souls. It is a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that he is the only way. A minister by the name of S.M. Lockridge gave a 6.5-minute description of Jesus Christ, and it was known as, That's My King. And this is what he said. My king was born king. The Bible says he is a seven-way king. He is king of the Jews, that is an ethnic god. He is the king of Israel, that is a national god. He is the king of righteousness. He is the king of the ages. He is the king of heaven. He is the king of glory. He is the king of kings, and he is Lord of lords. Now that is my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Do you know the king? David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Jesus is the king. Jesus the king is the only one of whom there are no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast. He is immortally graceful. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. That is my King. He is God's Son. He is the sinner's Savior. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He is honest. He is unique. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He is supreme. He is preeminent. He is the grandest idea in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in higher criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He is a cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That is my King. He is a miracle of the age. He is a superlative of everything. Everything good that you choose to call him. He is the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He is available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He is the Almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. That is my King. Do you know him? Well, my King is a King of knowledge. He is a wellspring of wisdom. He is a doorway of deliverance. He is a pathway of peace. He is a roadway of righteousness. He is a highway of holiness. He is a gateway of glory. He is a master of the mighty. He is a captain of the conquerors. He is the head of the heroes. He is the leader of the legislators. He is the overseer of the overcomers. He is a governor of governors. He is a prince of princes. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. That is my King. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he is indescribable. That is my King. He is incomprehensible. He is invisible and he is irresistible. I am coming to tell you this, that the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone some man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That is my King. He always has been and he always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor and he will have no successor. There is nobody before him and there will be nobody after him. You can't impeach him and he is not going to resign. That is my King. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. All the power belongs to my King. We are around here talking about black power and white power and green power. But in the end, all that matters is God's power. Thine is a power and a glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes, thine is a kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? Forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the evers, then he is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Why do you get into anxiety? You don't know this King. a little king that doesn't exist. And God's been telling me the church does not know him. And that is why the church is going through the trouble that they're going through. This man knew his king. He knew, and he was in love with his Jesus. And if you're going to be an overcomer, you're going to have to know Jesus like this young man knew Jesus. And he's going to have to be king in your heart. And you're going to have to know that you know that you know that the enemy has no control over your life, because the king has control of your life. The body of Christ is nowhere near where they should be to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. God has been trying to pull the church there, but the church hasn't quite found the way. Why? I don't know. I spend a lot of time just sitting thinking about how God has touched different people's lives, and they never change. They never come into full understanding of who this Jesus truly is. Therefore, they're bound by the shackles of hell and don't know how to get set free. You give the enemy honor by staying in bondage. And you walk all over the blood of Jesus when you stay in bondage. Jesus is a bondage breaker. You know, God told me, he said, you're going to be celebrating Easter next week. And he said, but they don't know the Jesus that they're celebrating. They know the commercial Jesus. You know, we always show the pictures of Jesus being beaten. And you weep, but it does not change you. Because you don't really know him. Jesus is not that beating man, that beaten man. He sits on the throne high and lifted up. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart high and lifted up. He wants to be the very core of everything you think of. And you know, I said this to somebody else, and I'll say it here. I watch people come into the house of God. I watch them come in, they're all happy, bubbly, you know, and laughing and everything. And then I watch others who come in through the doors, and they're very quiet. They just come in and they just sit down. You don't even know they're there. And I've noticed one thing, those quiet ones are the ones who have a relationship with Jesus. They know who Jesus is in their life. They don't need to be bubbly. They don't need to be seen or heard, because they're content in being in the arms of Jesus. Now, see, I didn't say don't come into church and be bubbly and laugh. I didn't say that. Maybe you need to start being a people watcher or a fruit watcher, whatever you want to call it. And you'll be able to separate those who truly, truly, truly have a relationship with God. And then you'll know the ones who have a surface relationship that has never gone to the very deep core of their being. I've always been a watcher. I watch people. And then since I got born again, I like people show me what really is going on. Let Jesus show me what's going on in people's lives. Check yourself out. This is a time that you have to really look at yourself. Time to, you know, just reflect on where you've been and what you've done and where you're going to. Are you really a true follower of Jesus from the very depth of the core of your being? Or is this a surface relationship like all your worldly relationships? I read that, and I wept when I read that. Because that God, this man is really has a relationship with you. He knows who he's following. And he's letting the world know who Jesus really is. All these are things he pulled out of the scripture. But that is our Jesus. That is the one we're supposed to be showing to the world. Amen. Easter is coming here, what, next week or so? Next week's Palm Sunday, then the following week is Easter. Maybe you can get to know him between now and then. And you know, and the beating Jesus took, yes. We take beatings too. The cross is there, yes, and we don't ever belittle the cross. But do you remember what happened on the cross? It is finished. Jesus paid the ultimate price for you and I so that we could one day sit in heavenly places. So when you see Jesus hanging on that cross, remember why he's there. It wasn't so he could be a spectacle. It was to show you of his love. Years and years ago, when I was 40-some years ago, somebody said to me, I never buy a cross with Jesus hanging on it because he's not on that cross. He's sitting in heavenly places. That made a whole lot of sense to me. Why do we want to carry around on our necks or wherever a cross with Jesus hanging on it when he isn't really there? It is finished. Amen. Deep stuff God gave us this morning, now this evening, because he wants us by Christmas to really be in love with him, to know him in all of his glory, all of his goodness. We've all been in a mess. We all know that. And don't say you haven't. And I just said, you know, thinking today that God warned us we were going through a Job experience. So we're in the Job experience. And we're not going to say we're not, because that's calling God a liar. But yet you have to see the steps that Job took. He had the steps he had to walk through. Then the sickness hit him. And that was his last test. And then while in his sickness, he prayed for his friends. He didn't, you know, people weren't coming here, oh, poor thing. No, they were telling him he was crazy. And Jesus come along and healed him. And he had more in the end than he had in the beginning. And I'm really believing, I'll just say for myself, my Job experience has drawn me even closer to God. To even see more, even more than I've ever seen, how wonderful he is and how he keeps me in every area of my life. It isn't to go around saying, well, you know, I made it through the Job experience. No, that's not what it's all about. It's all about you getting closer to Jesus, understanding his heart, his ways. Amen. All right, there's a prophetic word I'm going to read, but I want to share something with the Lighthouse Church. You know, I said I didn't know where God was taking us to. My first 40-year dispensation of time when God called me, he took me to the churches and to the leaders, and he was shaking the churches, use me to show the leaders what kind of sin they were in. And now God's finished with the church. He's finished with the leaders. Either you made it or you didn't. And now we are in another year, 40-year dispensation. This 40-year dispensation is all about bringing the harvest. And God told me the reason why you don't know what you're doing is because you're in a new dispensation of time. You can't work in the old dispensation. Didn't he tell me I don't want what I used to have? And now we're walking in a new dispensation. And if you saw what happened this morning, he was calling people into leadership position. And that's exactly what he did when we first started in the other 40-year disposition of time. So now we're no longer walking in the dark. We know now we are ones that he has chosen to bring in the harvest. And everything God has on the walls, wherever we have it in our hearts or on paper, those are the things that we're going to walk in right now. So we are no longer going to walk in confusion saying, what's going on? We know what's going on. We're going to minister to the lost world. God's going to bring them in. Either he'll bring them in here, he'll put them on your path, whatever. But he's going to use you with signs, wonders, and miracles. And he said to Catherine Coleman, anointing was going to be loosed in here. So we're going to see great miracles of healing happen. And healing is anything. It's just not a physical healing. It could be a mental healing. It could be any type of healing. So I want you to get encouraged, Lighthouse. That's what I'm just talking. This is where the Lighthouse is at. I don't know what he's doing to any other church and really don't care. I have enough to handle you guys, all right? Now, God is saying, I am calling my people to restore the altars. Salvation. Okay? This is what the nation needs. This is what I am doing right now. I am calling my people to restore the altars. I'm calling my people to come through the altar of repentance and proceed to the altars of prayer and into the Holy of Holies. And what did God call us into today? Into the holy place. However, those three altars will happen at once. When my people come to the altar to seek my face, there is repentance and there is grace poured. There is prayer and there is heaven's reply. There is awe and fear in the innermost presence, and there is the embrace of the Father. See, with this altar, this 40-year dispensation, and the new altar area where the souls are going to be saved, these people are going to be saved and stay saved. It's not going to take, oh, well, I said the sinner's prayer now. 50 years from now, I would still be saying the sinner's prayer. No, when they come to the altar, the grace and the glory of God are going to be there. It's going to change the people totally and completely at that point. And they aren't going to go back into their sin nature. I think you need to turn the air conditioning off, not unless you want me to quit talking. It's freezing me. Are you understanding this, guys? What used to be is no longer. You know, this people come to the altar and boo-hooing for 5 minutes and getting up and never changing. When they come to the altar, they're going to be saved when they leave the altar. The restoration of the altars I am calling my church to activate means that Jesus Christ will be once more at the center of my church's activities, and the focus will shift from earth to heaven. This is why God has been having me sing the songs that we sing, and why he's been teaching us the way he's been teaching us, because he's leading us back to the center, which is Christ. The church has fallen so far away from Jesus, but God has been pulling us back. Then and only then, the focus of heaven on earth will become a certainty, a reality, and an unquestionable presence of God. Leading to holiness will come like a wave that will permeate society and change the nation. We need this change. You know, if America is going to be saved in any way, shape, or form, we need the altar restored. We need true repentance restored. We need holiness restored. And we need to be a people who will be the same 24/7. We won't vacillate between sin and holiness. We will stay holy 100%. My church, every church in every locality needs to realize that when Jesus died and was resurrected and went up to sit at the right hand of God, those who believe became the people of eternity. Those people back then got saved and stayed saved. Are you understanding that? And you know, God's word said not everybody's going to go to heaven. There's always been a group of people that were Satan's. and could not be saved. I had God tell me one time, they can't be saved because they're not mine. So I know for a fact there are those that belong to Satan. And God told me one time that when we're born, Satan is on one side, Jesus is on the other. And it depends who grabs a hold of that baby, who that baby belongs to. Now, that's a sad statement. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus got a hold of your ankle? Amen. Aren't you glad that your name was written in the book of life and that was your destiny? I don't know why this is, that some can be saved and others can't. I don't know that. If you want to know it, go to God and ask him. All right. All right, my church in every locality needs to realize that when Jesus died and was resurrected and went up to sit at the right hand of God, those who believe become the people of eternity. Those who believe are not part of the world anymore. And it will be only then when my church realizes that the place of abode and the place of primary action is in the heavenly places in Jesus. And he talked to us about that tonight. That Christians all around the world will become the most effective force to bring change. In other words, you'll carry the glory. And you walk into a place, people will just get saved. You know, they'll start acting like they've lost their mind. They'll start running up to you and hugging you and crying and saying, I need what you have. They'll get saved right then and there. Only those with a close connection with heaven are able to bring forth the changes that the nation desperately needs, and that close connection will become active and evident in action as my people restore the altars. Saints, the lighthouse has to restore the altar. You and I say the glory is here. Jesus is here. Receive. You know, he really is here. And I never say anything. I don't need to talk. If I tell you God's here, the anointing's here, then receive it. There's so many don't do that, though. They get up off the floor feeling absolutely nothing. Some man died here not too long ago, and God brought him back. And he said, his heart stopped beating. And he said, I didn't see nothing. All I felt was perfect peace. But he said, I'm totally changed. You know, he said, I didn't see no bright light. Nothing shook and carried on around about me. I was just in a place of peace. He said, then next thing I know, I was back in my body. I was so excited he said that. Because when God takes me out of my body, I don't see all these things other people see either. And I'm not saying they don't see them. Please don't say that. I'm just saying I thought there was something wrong with me. But you know, each of us, God does it differently. Amen. You know, the one time when God came and took me out of my body when I was in bed, told me to get down on my knees, that light took me up in the air, and I looked down and I saw myself down there kneeling. And I saw my husband laying in that bed sleeping. And next thing I know, we was gone. I don't know where we went. But then eventually I was back in my body. But I don't know what, I've always told you that I don't know what happened in between. But I know something happened. I went somewhere. God did something with me. See, you know, and signs and wonders aren't for the church. Did you understand that? Signs and wonders are for the world, to make the world believe. I just know God took me somewhere, and I don't care where he took me. But I do know one thing. Each experience I had like that changed me. Drew me deeper into the arms of Jesus. And I'm so glad he did those things for me. And I'm so glad he's still doing them. God said, I am not restoring the altars myself. Listen to this. I am calling my people to restore the altars. And when they do, they will find that I have been waiting there all along, ready to bless them and through them bless the nation when they make themselves ready to become the channel of grace and heavenly glory that the Father always had in mind when he sent Jesus Christ. What did I tell you God said to me a couple months ago? I'm just waiting on you. And he's waiting on me to finally realize that he was there all the time. and I allowed men's voices to make me believe I was wrong. So, are you waiting on God? Maybe He's waiting on you to finally walk in the faith and in the truth that you're His child and He really wants to work through you. It's not about calling heaven, but about bringing heaven. This is God speaking. It's not about calling heaven, but it's about you having the glory of God in you and you bringing heaven to the earth. In a true revival, people run to the altar. They literally run to the altar. You know, they don't sit here and wait for me to beg them to come. They get up and they run to the altar. When God's people who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb make that connection the Holy Spirit is prompting us all to make, we are going to see change happen. Instead of standing in the world calling heaven to do something, we will stand in His presence and bring heaven in. Remember I told you I went to this one church and every time there was an altar call, God told me, get up and go. And I said, "What? I'm not in sin. Why do I have to go?" He says, "Somebody has to lead my people." And so, you know, whenever an altar call is given, maybe you are the one that needs to go to the altar. And every time I went, the whole church followed. And that's the truth. Shirley was there. The whole church came to the altar and they cried out to God. But somebody had to lead the people. Are you understand? And the pastor wasn't leading them to the altar. And I was dumb. I was like a little child. I've always been that childhood state. I just did what God told me to do. Are you understanding this? I said to God, but they'll think I'm in sin. He said, doesn't matter what they think. I need you to go so you can lead them. So what do you care what people think about you? Do what God's telling you to do. And I'm a woman. I know that from crown of my head to soles of my feet. I know I'm a woman. But do you know how many men think that they can rule it over me? They'll come in here and try to tell me how to run the church. You know, I'm sorry, but if you were going to run a church, God would have you run your own. He called me. He didn't call you to come in here and tell me how to do it. You need to understand that. You men, I'm just saying I'm a woman, and so men come in and have always tried to tell me how to do it. And so you men, there's always going to be somebody that's been in the way longer than you have, and they're always going to tell you how to do it. You have to know how God's telling you to do it, and then do it that way. I never say anything to the men. I just go on because I know who I am, and I know I've been called by God. The glory of God's all through this room. I can't hardly see you guys here in the back. That's why I look over here every now and then, because I can't see them. See, the glory of God abides where holiness abides. Do you understand that? Everybody in the room does not have to be holy. Only one. But it's nice if y'all were holy. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying you're not holy. I'm saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in the room was holy? We'd be in heaven, wouldn't we? That glory cloud would just come down and just grass, take us all right on out up there into the throne room. All right, God said, in other words, it is not about calling heaven, but about bringing heaven. This means your involvement with the Holy Spirit. It means just not just detached kingdom values, but the extension of the kingdom. We must realize that the preaching of the kingdom is the only factor of change and the only exception of hope. And so what has God been having me do lately? Preach a lot on the word, hasn't he? God's gone back to the beginning. He's gone back to the word. He's gone back to his son, Jesus. He's going back to resurrection power. And he's calling you and I to get in the groove with God. He called us to heaven here tonight. He says, just come and dine with me. You're like me. I was saying, oh God, I want to come up into heaven and see what everybody else sees. And I said, God, I really don't want to do that. I'm your child. And I just want you to lead, guide, and direct me. I don't have to go up into heaven. I believe I've always already been there. And all the times God has taken me somewhere. And I just don't remember what went on there. it might be God doesn't want me to do that. Do you understand that? You know, maybe he just wants me to carry the glory, not a story. Think about that. A lot out there giving their testimony, and that's fine. And, you know, we all need to give our testimony. A lot out there are giving their testimonies, but are they really glory carriers? Now, I'm going to get in trouble over this because I know there's many out there right now I've been watching. They are walking in the glory. They have the anointing of God all over them, but there's just others who just write about it. They still don't have that personal touch with Jesus that they need. And if you watch them, you can see where they're really at. You kids, you still don't want to believe that God wants to use you. I have news for you. If you want to keep believing that, that's fine. He'll walk past. He'll walk right on by you. He'll leave you sitting right there in that chair, and he'll find somebody else to do your work. You are not going to stop God's work. You're just not. God always has somebody else that he can use to do what he wants you to do. Somebody was telling me the other day, you cannot just live you cannot live a fasted life because your body would shut down. But you know, there was Kenneth Hagin tells a story, this old man, when he got saved as a young boy, God said, all you can eat from this day forward is crackers and water. That's all you can do. That man ate crackers and water, and he carried such a strong anointing. But the doctor says, there's no way you should be living. Probably in a natural, you shouldn't. But this man listened to what God had to say, and that's what he did. And there was miracles occurring everywhere he went. Reason why we don't see so many miracles sometimes, because we're not being obedient to what God has told us to do, and our flesh is still overriding God's voice. But when God's been showing me this scene about Moses, when they were having that big battle, as long as he could hold his hands up, they won the battle. But when he grew weary and his hands fell, they lost. And so the some of the men in the tribe came to him and stood one on each side, held his arms up until the battle was won. And this is what the reason why God showed me that is, we need to start doing that with one another. We need to get on each side of you and hold your arms up when you're too weak to do it yourself, and to stay with you until the battle's won. That's why God's been calling us into love and into unity. Because we have to hold up each other's arms. And we have to be there for them until they finally come through the dark valley that they had to go through. And God's been calling this church to walk in love and unity for quite some time. Somebody called me yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before. Talked to me maybe not even 5 minutes. And when we hung up, I just started crying. And I said, God, I really needed to hear that right now. I didn't know it until they called, though. And then so I wrote back and I said, thank you so much for calling me. I really needed that. And they wrote back and said, God told me to call, that you needed to hear what I had to say. Wasn't even a 5-minute conversation. See how what a wonderful God we have. He knows our every need. He knows everything that we have need of. He knows the desires of our heart. This is what God is saying. When are you going to finally give up the things of this world and pick up this Jesus that this young man knows? When are you going to do that? He's saying, you're going to wait till it's too late. He said, your burdens are too heavy. And the reason why you're carrying such heavy burdens is because you don't really know Jesus, who he truly is to you. If we really knew who he was, we wouldn't be anxious, would we? We wouldn't have that anxiety. And I taught that this morning, and I went home and read 3 articles about anxiety. I didn't know anxiety was overpowering the world right now. But God did, because he knows all things. You need to be so close to God that you know his every heartbeat. And when you become that close, you'll forget about yourself. And all you want to do is to help those that need your help. How will you know that? God will lay it upon your heart. He'll let you know that there's somebody in need. You might not know who it is right then, but you'll get down on your knees or sit in your chair. I don't care how you do it. And you'll pray, you intercede until that heaviness lifts. And somebody's life is changed because you died to your flesh and you took the time to pray for somebody else. Satan knows if you can withstand his tests, but he's still going to try you. He's still going to try to take you down a dark road. What are you going to do with it? What are you young girls going to do with it? You're going to let somebody else carry your anointing that God has given you? Are you going to give in to God and do what God's asking you to do? There's a whole lot on the line. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. There's a whole lot on the line right now for his children. And it's up to each one of us individually whether we make it or not. He wants a closeness. He wants a nearness. Sometimes I can look at your marriage and tell you how your walk with God is. Because if you don't have a good marriage, you don't have a good walk with God either. Because if you have a good marriage, you'll overlook the sins. So where are you at tonight? I'm not even going to give an altar call. God just said, don't you dare give an altar call. Where are you at tonight? Do you know your Jesus? Do you know this man's Jesus? Or do you just know a surface God? We all go through trials and tribulations because God told me right up front, he said, life is going to go on. It's not going to stop just because you received me, you became born again. It is not going to stop. In fact, it's going to get worse. Because now the enemy's after you, you're a threat to him. I've never seen the likes. You know, you'll give in to the devil and he's killing you. But you won't give in to Jesus who's saving you. You just have to stop. You have to think about these things tonight. And like Jesus said, we're into the Easter season. And do we really know who we're celebrating? I told my family, no baskets, no bunnies, no nothing that isn't Jesus. He isn't a piece of chocolate. You know, why do we do that? We take a person a piece of chocolate and say, Happy Easter. That it's Jesus, right? It's his resurrection that we're celebrating. You do what you want to do, but just think about it. We have to break habits of man. And we have to become true children of God.